I ordered the grilled beef tenderloin with horseradish whipped potatoes and roasted asparagus, and Bob got the Nantucket sea scallops with butternut squash risotto. Everything looks and smells amazing. I'm starving and ready to dig in. But then I'm stumped and embarrassed, realizing that I didn't think my dinner choice through. "Honey, I can't eat this," I say. "What, is there something wrong with it?" "No, there's something wrong with me." He looks up and down between me and my untouched meal, trying to figure out what I'm talking about, using the same analytical thinking he brings to any high-priority work problem, not seeing it. And then he does. "Ah, here, let's switch for a minute," he says. He swaps my plate for his, and I eat a few of his scallops and some of his risotto while he cuts my meat. I feel foolish as I watch him cut my entire tenderloin into neat, bite-sized pieces like I'm an incapable child. The young couple next to us bursts into more laughter. I look over my shoulder, discreetly eyeing them, my insecure ego assuming that they must be laughing at me, the 37-year-old woman who can't cut her own meat. The young woman is still laughing, wiping tears from her eyes, and the young man is grinning as he lifts his glass of champagne. I can't figure out what was so funny, but it clearly wasn't me. They're so into each other, they probably haven't even noticed that Bob and I are here. I need to get a grip. "Here you go," says Bob, re-swapping our plates. "Thank you," I say, still feeling a bit sheepish. I stab a piece of my pre-cut beef tenderloin and pop it into my mouth. Bob does the same with a scallop. "How is it?" asks Bob. "Perfect." We finish dinner, too full for dessert, and wait for the check. My glass of wine turns out not to have been the best idea, not because I feel buzzed, although I do, just a little, but because I now have to go to the bathroom, and there's no way that I can hold it until we get home. But I really don't want to use a public restroom. I try to put it out of my mind and think about something else. I really want to go to Vermont soon. I really want to go back to work. I really want to go home and go to the bathroom. It's no use. I won't be able to hold it four long blocks plus the car ride. If I thought a 37-year-old woman needing her husband to cut her meat looked embarrassing, imagine the sight of a 37-year-old woman wetting herself in the middle of Pisces. The young couple next to us would definitely roar over that one. "Bob, I need to go to the ladies' room."
Okay. Let's get you there."
We maneuver past the young couple, who I swear still don't notice us, through the labyrinth of tables, past a tight spot where we block a waitress with a tray full of food and a barely disguised look of impatient irritation, and amble into an empty corridor. Cane, step, drag, breathe, hold. We stop in front of the door to the ladies' room. "You okay from here?" Bob asks. "You're not coming with me?" "Into the ladies' room? I can't go in there." "Sure you can. No one will care." "Fine, then let's go into the men's room." "No, okay. But what if I need you in there?" "Then call for me." "And you'll come if I call you?" "I'll come in if you call me." "And you'll wait right here at the door?" "I'll be right here." "Okay. Here I go." Bob holds the door open, and I carefully make my way inside. The sinks are in front of me and to the right, which means that the stalls must be somewhere to my left. Of course. Scan left, look left, go left. I find them. There are three regular stalls and one handicapped. The handicapped stall is large, with plenty of room for walking in and turning around, and would be the stall that any of my therapists would tell me to use. But it's also the farthest away, and I really, really have to pee. And I'm not handicapped. I make it to the first stall and push the door open with the forward step of my granny cane. It swings open and then swings back, banging into my cane. I inch forward until I can't move anymore and am now standing over the toilet. For the first time in my life, I wish I were a man. But I'm not a man, so I begin the painstaking process of trying to turn around and sit down. This is where the grab bars at Baldwin and the ones installed in our bathrooms at home always seem to magically appear in just the right spot, exactly where I need to cling on for dear life. There are no such generously placed handholds in a public restroom. The door has no doorknob, only a flimsy metal latch, and the toilet paper dispenser is now somewhere to my left and so completely useless to me.
After a lot of banging around, grunting and muttering to myself, I manage to turn around and slide my underwear and pantyhose down. I hear the toilet paper spin in the stall next to me. Great. I'm sure whoever it is can't imagine what I'm doing. Forget about her. You're almost there. I decide my best route to the toilet seat is to slide my hand, slowly and carefully, down my granny cane like a fireman down the pole until I land. Miraculously, I make it squarely onto the seat. When I finish, I realize to my complete horror that I'm stuck here. I must have knocked my cane forward during the landing because it's now leaning against the stall door out of reach. I try to visualize standing up without it, without a grab bar, without a moderate upper body assist from a highly trained therapist, without Bob. But when I do, I see myself either falling headfirst into the metal stall door or falling backward into the bowl. Bob, I yell. No, it's Paula, says the woman in the stall next to me. Paula flushes. Bob! I hear Paula's stall door fly open and her feet walk toward the sink. Hi, how are you? Nice dress, says Bob. Says Paula. Sorry, it's our anniversary and we can't stand to be apart, he says. I laugh and hear Paula's shoes scurry out of the room. The stall door gently swings open, knocking my cane back toward me. I grab it, and there's Bob, grinning at me. You called? Can you please help me out of here? Ready? He lifts me by my armpits and drags me out of the stall. You should have seen the look on that woman's face, he says. We both burst into laughter. She couldn't get out of here fast enough, I say. We both laugh harder. The ladies' room door opens. The young woman from the table next to us enters. She takes one look at Bob, holding me up by my armpits, glances down at my feet, gasps, spins on her heels, and rushes back out. Bob and I look down. My underwear and hose are lying limp around my ankles. We both lose it. I haven't laughed with such abandon in Bob's arms in a long time. Well, babe, I don't think we'll ever forget this anniversary, says Bob. No, I don't believe we ever will.